Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
You know, I think I'm in the mood for a good old-fashioned kidnapping. But maybe with some twists. I don't know. Surprise me.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I'm John, here as always with Jamie with a true crime story in 10 minutes or less. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Really excited about this story, especially coming off what we covered on Tuesday being heavy. This is a little lighter.
It's lighter, but it's weird. Why don't you get us started?
On November 2nd of 2016, 34-year-old Sherry Papini went out for a jog near her home in Redding, California, where she lived with her husband and two kids. When her husband got home that day from his job at Best Buy, he found that his wife was not at home. He tried to track her down with the Find My Friends app. While he did not find his wife, he did find her phone and her earbuds about a mile from their house on a trail called the Old Oregon Trail.
That takes me back to like elementary school playing an Oregon Trail on an old MacBook.
Absolutely.
The community immediately flew into frenzy, and the community rallied around this family and formed multiple search parties in an effort to find Sherry. Ultimately, the community formed a GoFundMe page that raised $49,000 to go to support the Papini family. But weeks went by without a trace of evidence. There was no ransom note. There was no communications from anyone with information about Sherry's whereabouts. So we really have no leads.
This search, the mourning, the endless nights of wondering what happened to Sherry, came to an end 22 days later. Sherry was found about 150 miles south of her home walking along a highway at 4 in the morning. She was bruised, beaten, she had burns and rashes, she had a chain around her waist, her wrists were bound in shackles, she appeared to have some kind of brand, like you brand cattle, on her right shoulder, and she had all of her long blonde hair chopped completely off.
So the story that Sherry told was that she was kidnapped by two Hispanic women. She claimed that these two women abused her, kept her locked in a room while they played loud music. She could give police no identifying information about the women and had no idea how to lead them to the location where she was being held captive.
The only information she would give was how their breath smelled and what she thought their ages were, which ranged from in the 20s to 50. Now, Sherry was given over $125,000 in disability support due to the trauma from her abduction. The local police department spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to find Sherry's captors to help those in the community to feel safe. She was also given state-sponsored psychiatric care that was valued at about $30,000. So this community is really rallying around her between the GoFundMe, the therapy, and the support. She's getting what she needs to recover.
After continuously running into dead ends and considering the fact that Sherry seemed to be less than cooperative with the investigation, some in the community started to question her story altogether. Was she telling the truth about the identity of her captors? Was she holding information back? And how much of her story was actually true?
As investigators continued looking for whoever was behind Sherry's kidnapping, they stumbled upon a piece of evidence that blew the case wide open. It was in the spring of 2017 when investigators found some male DNA on the pants that Sherry was wearing when she was found. This obviously didn't belong to Sherry or her alleged female captors. It didn't belong to her husband or her kids. There would be no more information about this DNA for 3 more years as they tried to find more information about where she had been held.
In March of 2020, a familial DNA match came back on the DNA found on her pants, and it seemed that a couple had submitted their DNA to a databank, and the results showed that their son's DNA matched what was found on those pants. After following this individual and getting his DNA off a bottle of tea, authorities confirmed that this DNA belonged to Sherry's ex-boyfriend. Oh my goodness. Now, while his name has not been released publicly, the ex-boyfriend immediately came clean when he was approached by authorities.
4 months before this alleged kidnapping took place, Sherry and her boyfriend started talking over burner phones. She told him she was being abused by her husband and she needed a way out, so he agreed to help her escape. Her husband had no idea about any of this for over a year after she returned from this alleged kidnapping. So Sherry's ex-boyfriend picked her up in Reading on November 2nd of 2016, and she had been at his house the entire time. She inflicted most of the injuries upon herself, while the ex-boyfriend did admit helping her when she asked him to, and he was the one that actually applied the brand at her request.
Oh my goodness. So on March 3rd of 2022, Sherry was arrested and charged with making false statements to a federal agent and mail fraud. She has agreed to plead guilty in exchange for a lesser sentence, that of 8 to 14 months, with a maximum of 25 years. She also agreed to pay back $300,000 for the fraudulent support she received, including the disability funds, the psychiatric treatments, and the GoFundMe money. So, Jamie, real quick, like, is that enough time? 8 to 14 months for this huge story that she made up that cost over $300,000?
I don't think so. I mean, to some degree, they want this to be over and they want her to be held accountable. The restitution is a lot, but I think she deserves more than that 14 months in prison for this. This is a major fraud.
You know what's free? Is telling your husband, I don't want to be with you anymore. I'm going to live with my ex-boyfriend.
And you know, there's a lot
it's
of articles.
Perfectly legal too.
There are a lot of articles out there about the psychology of people that do this. And a lot of times it is to get out of a marriage they just don't want in, but they want to avoid divorce, or they want to get out of a situation, or that maybe they want to save their marriage so something like this could keep them together. We don't know the why of why she did this. And she's been pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing. But man, I feel like this is a much bigger deal than less than 2 years in prison. This restitution, who knows if she'll even be able to pay it back. A lot of times people aren't even able to do that. I just don't think it's enough. What took so much time for them to break this case? I know the DNA was the big piece, but the evidence and talking to people around her, it seems like they could have found that ex-boyfriend a lot sooner.
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't know. And then there's so many other questions I have too. Like, why was she found at 4 a.m. staging an escape? Like, why not just stay with him forever? I don't know, man. This whole thing is weird.
It is weird.
I'm really glad you brought it to us, Jamie. This was a really good case, and we hope you all enjoyed this 10-minute story.
True crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.